Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This USA versus Iran edition of the Sports Gambling Podcast is presented by WinBet. WinBet is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same game parlays to live in-game odds, WinBet has what you need to win. Sign up today, bet $100 and get a $100 free bet at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/winbet. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. We're also brought to you by the SGPN store and their big Cyber Monday sale, 20% off everything in the store for one day only this Monday using the code cyber at store.sportsgamblingpodcast.com.
Hey, what's up, you degenerate gamblers? This is Bill Burr, and you're listening to SGPN. Let it ride, baby.
Fucking shine box.
Welcome everyone to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I am Sean, stacking the money green with my partner of picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Crame?
Dog. USA. USA, which, by the way, getting tons of positive feedback about the analog soundboard while you're on remote, Sean. People say, don't hit the button, Ryan. Let Sean do it with his mouth. Oh, wow.
Wow. That could be its own sound drop. Hey, we got, you heard his laugh. We're going to join him in just a second here to talk USA versus Iran, a big World Cup match, win and get in for the United States. And of course, if you're betting on the World Cup or NFL Monday Night Football, you can do it all over at WinBet. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WinBet. Get that special bet $100. Get a $100 free bet active in so many states. And again, you know what they do over at Win. Bet big, win bigger. Offer subject to change terms and conditions at winbet.com. See 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Joining us on the line all the way over in England, he is the host of the World Cup Gambling Podcast, Mr. Malcolm Bamford. What's happening, Malcolm?
Good evening, gentlemen. How are we doing? I'm good, thank you. I'm fine. Enjoying the football, enjoying the new show. Horrifically out of form, but everyone's having a lovely time, so you can't have everything, can you? What are you going to do?
It's not only do you have to have the show be good, but you also have the picks be good. It's tough. And well, first off, I appreciate you coming on after we went over in Qatar and just drawed your ass, but a dominating draw by the United States. Before we get to the Iran game, before we get to the World Cup in general, I mean, Malcolm, what happened there? England taking a draw.
Well, England kind of traditionally do this in their first game. We have done for the last, well, as long as I can remember, like since Pussy was a kitten, we've always struggled in our first game. And actually, we came out against Iran in the first game and we battered them and it was really out of character. So yeah, just had a sneaking suspicion in the back of my mind that they were saving the rubbish game for game two. And that's exactly what they did. As it happens, I wouldn't like to disparage the USA at all in that because I thought they played really, really well. They lack a little bit of quality, let's be honest about it. But what they do is they run around and kick stuff. If it moves, they kick it. If it doesn't move, they kick it until it does, which is a perfectly valid system. They've been really industrious. And we've got a really good team of talented players. and the coach plays with the parking brake on. He needs to take the parking brake off, let the kids play. But we don't seem to be able to do that. He can't settle on the system. So, yeah, that was a decent point for the US. It's just a shame it wasn't very helpful because they only got the draw in the opening game. So they still need to win. So it was a moral victory. What they actually needed was actual 3 points.
Oh, you see that, Sean? He threw a backhanded compliment across the pond there. nice job, meaningless draw. And congratulations to both of you for not saying tie a single time there, Sean. Soccer Sean has been upgraded.
Yes, Soccer Sean laser focused on the soccer there. Yeah, no, it's and England is essentially locked in to move on to the knockout stage. It seems the only scenario where they wouldn't is in the final game against Wales. If they somehow lost by 4 goals, they're moving on. I would like to get your take on this.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Sean, but are you saying like back in 1776 when the largest empire in the world was going against a bunch of farmers with pitchforks, like that kind of upset?
Well, I mean, you know, Iran lost by 4 goals. Maybe England could lose by 4 goals to Wales. Certainly would be pretty shocking outcome. But Malcolm, you mentioned the manager for England plays seems to coach like with the parking brake on. What is your take on handicapping this game and kind of these games in general, because there's a number of games in the group stage here where the third game is kind of meaningless for one, if not both of the teams. Is there an approach to this handicap? Will England be playing all their normal starters? How do you break that down?
There's two things in this for me. The first thing is because it's only a 3-game section. Even if the team have already qualified, they're not guaranteed finish first. And there's a big difference between finish first and finishing second. A bit like seedings if you're going through to the NFL playoffs. So for example, the Netherlands in Group A will want to qualify top because the top team in Group A will play the second team in this group. So if they'll get an infinitely easier game, they'll have to play Wales or USA than by finishing second. So even if you've already qualified, there's generally an incentive. Like something has to have gone, everything has to have gone your way in the first two games for you to be so far clear that you can't be caught. So it's very unlikely that you can sort of take your foot off the pedal. The second thing is, and this is whether or not as a coach you would like to do it, is do you risk losing the momentum that you've gained? If you've played 2 games and you've won them both comfortably, by resting your starters, does everyone lose that little bit of your little bit of juice that they've had? You know, the little spring in the step. I know it's a squad, and you're not there to keep everybody happy. You're there to do your best to win that tournament. If they're in a pattern of playing every 3 days, and you want to keep them going, that players would thrive on that. So, you pay your money and take your chunks. Personally, I'd just keep rolling out your best players. There's talk of it resting if you, but it's safe, so I don't think you can. What you might say is you might take some off after an hour if they get 2 or 3 nil ahead, which I'm not saying they will, by the way. If they're ahead, then you can rest some players for the last 30 minutes or so. But rarely in this short format are you so far in front that you can kind of make wholesale changes and run out the entire second team. It's just the attempt to finish top of the group just doesn't allow that.
Okay, so it does seem like even if they're locked into advance, probably still want to play for seeding. So, you know, look for them to be motivated when you're doing your handicap. Has there been any surprises, like huge surprises? I know Argentina losing, that was a big surprise. Costa Rica, shout out to Costa Rica. Getting a victory was a pretty big surprise. What have been the biggest surprises so far early on here in the tournament?
Yeah, it's been a bit of a weird one because there's been a fair share of kind of nil-nil draws, but then equally they've been offset by the shocks that you mentioned. The way that these teams have played, very often you get these teams that don't have as much quality. They can be a little bit defensive because soccer is easier to play. If you park 2 banks of 5 across the edge of your own penalty area, I don't care who the opposition is, it's really hard to break down. And you can play for a tie. You can't in other sports where it doesn't benefit you in the long run. So Saudi Arabia didn't do that. Saudi Arabia came out against Argentina and just went nuts. They went for it. They did play with the throttle full out. Costa Rica, sort of how they won the other day. That was one of the ugliest wins I've ever seen. Australia picked up a really nice win. The Africans have eventually joined the party today. They were struggling. They were dour. And then all of a sudden, Cameroon scored three times today, completely out of the blue. Ghana scored three times, completely out of the blue. So the Ghanaians have joined in. There's been a load of good games. And now we're getting into tomorrow is the start of game three, where it's win or go home. You know, you need a result or you've got to go home. And you've seen it today. Games will start opening up. You should start to see more goals. I think both teams to score will be in play more. You're going to see a load more action in the last 20 minutes of stuff. It's a lot more cagey early on. There's people jockey for position. Game three tomorrow. And they play the games at the same time now as well. So both Group B games, Iran now to join in with you boys. Iran v. the USA and Wales v. England. Simultaneously, after there was a famous incident in 1982 where West Germany, Austria, both knew if they tied, they would advance. And they just had a lovely time kicking the ball around. They just didn't try at all. And they absolutely screwed Algeria because Algeria were in the later kickoff. So they now play simultaneously. And that's when you sort of get teams who need to know what's going on in the other game. I think we're going to get to the actual USA game in a minute. I think one of the best things, or one of the things most in their favour tomorrow, is that they know what they need to do. There's not a situation where they can get a tie or a draw. Are we going with tie or draw, boys? What are we going with?
Draw.
Draw. Yeah, we're a soccer podcast now. Or sorry, foodie. Soccer football. Podcast.
There's no situation that they know if they're drawing, they're going to get through. So they're not going to get to 72 minutes at 1-1 and think, oh, do we need to hit or do we need to stick? They know what they've got to do. So that can only benefit them from the first minute. It's in their hands. They have to win, but it's in their hands.
It sounds like, so I just unpacked some things in my head with what we should do, Sean, since game three is all start on Tuesday. Just to recap, first half unders were 10-5-1 across the first 16 matches where each team was playing their first match. Sounds like we could have some tightness in the first halves of the third matches, and then they open up in the second half. I don't know if we want to play second half has more goals than first half, or if we just, Sean, do we just roll out first half unders again for match three?
I don't know. I'm a little worried about it. I think your handicap of doing it in game one, where teams are still figuring it out. But to Malcolm's point, like some of these teams have nothing to lose. And, you know, like even for instance, the US, like we can't play for a draw. We can't play for a tie. I would think that would help the scoring in the first half, but I don't know. I haven't looked at the lines if they're kind of factoring that in. I would assume second half, to score, to have more goals in the first half, that would be the favorite, right, Malcolm?
Yeah, it's normally kind of a shade of odds on. It would be maybe -125 to +120. I recorded last night the World Cup gambling podcast with Barry, and my bet in the England Wales game was over 1.5 second half goals for precisely that reason. Things are going to open up a little bit. And the other thing, I think you're getting much more value in these bets as well, because I don't know if it's made onto your radar, the amount of injury time, the amount of added time. Normally, it's just a formula. They stick up 3 or 4 minutes. Well, FIFA decided this time they were going to cut out all the time wasting, and every game's got 9 or 10 minutes. Yeah. So I imagine the books have adjusted maybe a little bit, but you seem to be getting an extra 10% time that you can go and score those late goals. I would be live betting a lot of stuff after 70 minutes. And something that I will talk about is the cards market as well. So I'd be live betting a lot of stuff, goals, cards, and the results will change as well from sort of 65, 70 minutes onwards. So paid live to get busy once the clock gets to about 70 minutes.
Sean, it's one of the things. Right. Yeah, it was one of the things I've noted. Like, it seems like injury time is gone full bore like crazy. Like how I can probably count on my hand the number of times I ever saw injury time of 9 minutes in previous soccer matches before this World Cup. And I've seen it in multiple matches. And it's just, so yeah, if you think about it, a 45 minute half If you're adding 4 minutes, that's 10%. 9 minutes, that's like 25% more time. It seems pretty obvious, but yeah, I love that. I think we're going to have to do some live betting. We might have to, I saw someone suggest on the Twitch chat, Sean, that we should live stream the match. Maybe a little live stream with some live wagering suggestions. I don't know. We'll see.
Ooh. All right. Yeah, that sounds fun.
If the US makes it out, makes the knockout stage, we will live stream the knockout. Yeah,
that's what we got to do. We got to give our boys in blue a little dangle a reward. If they make it to the knockout stage, we'll do a live stream. Hey, we're going to get to all our favorite US versus Iran bets before we get to this. Shout out to Rocket Money. That's right. Rocket Money saves you so much money simply by canceling subscriptions you don't use. You can think of how many things you've signed up for. Oh, you get the free trial, you forget to cancel, or maybe you accidentally signed up twice, whatever it is, and your credit card's on auto pay, and you know, $4.99 here, $5.99 here, it adds up, especially if you're not paying attention. Rocket Money makes it so easy. They show you all your subscriptions in one place. All you have to do is press cancel. Rocket Money does the rest. This is a great invention, and I've already saved a bunch using this thing. Go to rocketmoney.com/SGPN. Could save you hundreds, maybe even thousands. Rocketmoney.com/SGPN. Cancel all your unnecessary subscriptions. Rocketmoney.com/SGPN. All right, heading over to the game versus Iran. Right now, Iran to win is +310. The draw is +240. USA, a somewhat big favorite here, +100. The draw no bet line is +180 for Iran. USA -225. We'll kick it off with Malcolm here. Why is the United States such a heavy favorite here? Is part of it that they, you know, how both teams looked against England? I mean, they beat Wales and we tied with Wales. Or is it just that the USA needs the victory more? What do you think is making the USA a big favorite here?
The answer to that, Sean, is I've got absolutely no idea. I mean, if I was to sit blind and price this up myself, I can't get my head around it. We've used the term before, Ryan, when we talk about Ford, it's about finding money in the street. As much as I would like to blow a little bit of smoke, I'm going to have to handicap this as honestly as I can. There's nothing we've seen in this tournament so far. Pre-tournament, at the very worst, the nicest thing I could say about the USA, Wales and Iran is that they were all equal. There was nothing in it. Iran were +350 to get out of the group. Was one of the big bets that we gave out pre-tournament. Not necessarily because they were better than Wales and Iran, but even if they're at the same level, they were a much bigger price. They were a much, much better price to emerge from the group. All right, they threw in a clunker against England. Fair enough, it can happen. The goalie's head got knocked off after they reattached the goalie's head and then tried to play on, I've never seen that before. That was a bit peculiar. That knocked them, and then everything went right for England after that. Last week against Wales, Iran were the same price. Iran were +300 to beat Wales. It was incredible. And Wales are terrible. Wales are the worst team in that group by a country mile. And this is the same thing. Honestly, I'm baffled by the price. There's no reason. Like I say, at the very worst, I actually think Iran are a better team than the USA. But at the very worst, this should be tits. I mean, if I was to give you 3-1 about heads or tails, I'm sure you'd bet me all day, wouldn't you? So, yeah, it's head scratching. No reason that I can establish that at all.
fucking Benedict Malcolm over here coming in with the do I need to play Team America?
USA. Did you see that Wales fan? He gave a great interview where he said, Iran had this was their biggest win since the Iron Sheik beat Bob Backlund at WrestleMania. That was a great line, and he of course had an amazing accent. Yeah, no, I'm going to be betting on USA, but to advance it or to throw the draw line in there at +100. Let's go. I guess to me, it's worrisome that Iran only needs the draw. So. Yeah. I mean, don't they quote unquote park the bus and load the box and just play defense the entire game? How do you see Iran's strategy? Like, I think we need to get off to a hot start. We need to get that goal in the first half to force Iran to play like a traditional game. I'm worried Iran's just going to sit back and play defense because they just need that draw.
I'm fiercely shown extra soccer points using the term park the bus. Congratulations. tick that one off your card. And you're absolutely right as well. They're a very savvy defensive unit. They are an experienced team. They've got a lot of players who are playing at the highest level in Europe. And the lad up front, he's banging in goals in the chat for FC Porto in Portugal. I'm happy to completely put a line through that England performance. So yeah, I think that plays into Iran's hands because Iran can sit and invite them on. And that's not going to suit the USA either. The USA aren't going to be great. Unfortunately, like I said before, they haven't got that much quality. They're really industrious. They're really enthusiastic. They're very physical. They're going to struggle to open teams up. We've seen it today with South Korea. Very similar kind of team. Run around a lot. All ever in the world haven't got the key to unlock the door. And I think that's what USA are going to struggle with. This really plays into Iran's hands, especially, as we say, the later this goes on, USA have to win. They're going to have to push and push and push. And the longer this goes at 0-0, Iran will get away. I can see Iran springing and picking them off on the break. So, yeah, you're absolutely right, Sean, to be concerned about that because the USA will have to get in front. And I can see that being an issue because they're worldly-wise, you know, they're a very difficult team to break down, a difficult team to play against, and they're dangerous on the break. They've scored two goals in both their games. They've scored four goals already. You know, US are sitting on one goal, and that's an indication of their ability. And you've got to score goals to win games. And if you can't do it, we've seen it with a couple of half-decent teams. Tunisia have attacked a lot so far this tournament, can't score a goal. Mexico, decent, knocked the ball around, tidy, can't score a goal. That's going to be a big worry, I think, for the States tomorrow.
Oh boy, Sean, if you were playing prop markets, like Iran 1-0 plus 850, Iran 2-1 plus 1100, Iran 2-0 plus 1400. I mean, if you were into that kind of thing, Sean, it seems like Malcolm's suggesting that would be a fun way to go.
I'm going to go, well, as far as that market, I'm going to go USA to win exactly 1-0, 1-0, as we say in the soccer biz. You can get that plus 550 over at WinBet. Malcolm, as far as the total for the game, I know you're not going to get rich laying minus 160, but WinBet is offering under 2.5 at minus 160. I think the fact that Iran can advance with a draw, the under 2.5, and you factor in the USA's inability to score goals so far in this tournament, I think the under could be the play. I know in some of these games we talked about teams having to open it up, but what do you think about the total here for this game?
I think for a lot of these last group games, I'm going to be taking the over. The over 2.5 is at plus 130. And I've got what I tend to do with these games is put down what I think the final score is going to be and then kind of reverse engineer my bets, try and fit it into various different markets and see where the best value is. So I've got Iran winning this 2-1. Either team can go in front. Whichever team goes in front, the other team, the USA always have to be going for it. If the USA get a goal, that flips, the script flips. So everything in the game script is going to be offensive. It's going to be attacking. Like I said, the Iranians have already scored two goals in each games. I don't think USA are. I quite like the USA. I sound like I'm negative on them. As a team, I quite like them. I like everything they've tried to do. They've got some good players. Gio Reyna hasn't had a kick yet for USA. He's probably their most wily player. He's the one who's got a little bit about him. He's sort of small, nimble, well-balanced footballer. He can go past the chance. I think they have to give him a run out tomorrow. The manager I saw was getting some stick last week, the coach, for not playing Reyna. Yeah, go on.
You know, I was going to ask you about him because there was some controversy that he, Burkholder asked him to lie about his fitness as to why he wasn't playing. It seems like there's some controversy swirling. Of course, Rania's dad is kind of U.S. soccer royalty, Claudio Rania, and apparently he voiced his disapproval of what was going on some podcast. And obviously with the magnitude of what's happening right now, it just seems like this coach, whether or not the players like him, it seems like the people around the program do not. And like we're narrative guys, Sean. And so before you get down on any of your bets, it does seem like in a weird way, like the way for him to get off scot-free is another draw. We take the plus 255. He walks away not having lost a match in the World Cup, but three draws will not be successful, thus causing a change in the program for there to be a new manager who we will all hate in 4 years as we host the World Cup. But it just feels so strongly like that's the narrative here. They end up like with a scrappy performance, as Malcolm describes, a lot of running around. We end up sitting on a draw because, as you point out, Sean, that's all Iran needs. And the U.S. once again forgets about soccer for 4 years.
now, Malcolm,
if this is tied, going into the 88th minute, the USA are one goal away from qualifying. So they're going to go for it, at which point they could score. Brilliant. Catches the over. Well, they're going to get picked. It's almost like your ice hockey empty net. Do you know what I mean? They'll be throwing the goalkeeper forward for corners and stuff. So in the eight, we've got this 10 minutes of injury time. There's going to be a late goal. I like the goal after the 96th minute. Like, I would keep hammering it. There's going to be something goes down late here.
I like that logic because, to your point, if it is 1-1 and then the USA really has to press, they create some opportunities both ways, offensively. And then obviously if you're going hard on the offense, you're more susceptible to a defensive score. You mentioned some of the props you like, maybe some yellow cards. If you can find some totals on those, I assume you like the over on USA yellow cards, or what's it? I know we've been,
let me impress us in front of Malcolm, Sean. Okay. Here's what I think Malcolm is going to suggest. You can take the over under is 4.5 cards. That's the market I'm seeing. But you could bet maybe better play the USA plus a half card versus Iran in this matchup, because as Malcolm pointed out, we're an industrious bunch who will run around a lot without the key to the door, which means we're going to be running into shit a lot, I assume.
You're very nearly there. So I've got the over 4.5 is too chalky. The other way to play, I have got USA total yellow cards on their own. Over 2.5 is at a price of plus 137. You could actually take both teams. So thing with the cards is, in a game like this, firstly, you've got both teams on your side. And we've just said, in terms of game script, one team at all times is going to be going home. There's never going to be a situation where they're both comfortable. So one team's going to want to run around and boot the other lot, regardless of the score. For example, Saudi beat Argentina early in the tournament. There was no yellow cards after 68 minutes. I took the over 2.5 in the Discord channel. We were all on the over 2.5 yellow cards. Saudi were playing for their lives at that point, playing for the biggest win they've ever had. The game finished on 6 yellow cards and they were all Saudi yellow cards. They just ran around and leathered the Argentinians for the last 20 minutes of that game. This could be a very, very similar thing. Now, you know that I love the NFL ref report. So I got digging into the Spanish referee, Antonio Lahoz, with a Z on the end. Is that how we're pronouncing that, Sean?
Sure.
Lahoz.
That works.
He refereed one game so far this tournament, which was the Qatar-Senegal game.
Oh, no.
Wasn't really a particularly aggro game, actually. He booked 3 people on each team. So the total came in at 6. And then really what was a fairly innocuous game, he managed to yellow card 3 off each team. Again, added value with the added time that we're going to be playing at the end. So I just think, obviously, you've got the whole political thing. I mean, we haven't even touched on that yet, but the Iranians, as much as you're being very patriotic, USA, USA, there's not many better stories at the minute than the Iranians have been a really emotional bunch with what's going on in their country at the moment, all the political protests. There's been women and children dying in the street. They didn't sing the national anthem first up. They then kind of did second time. So there's going to be a lot of emotions here. If whichever team is losing in the last 10 minutes, they're just going to start kicking shit out the other lot. So, yeah, over 2.5 USA cards. I take the same bet for Iran. If you can find an alternative card line to go to over 5.5, get on that as well, because the referee's got form. So, yeah. And again, this could all be happening late on. You might want to be 58 minutes, might be one yellow card. Then you can get stuck in.
And if you're getting into the, you know, maybe you want to parlay who's going to get those yellow cards, which, you know, you can do that. Shout out to 2022 and sports gambling. Here are the guys who are already sitting on cards. So they, like, obviously, like, what does a second card for someone mean if they're sitting on one already? Malcolm, does it even matter because it's life or death?
No, yeah. I'll be 100% honest with you. I don't know if they changed the rule. It used to be two cards and you'd miss the next game. Now, there's an amnesty now. And now I don't know if the amnesty is after the group stage or after the second round. Because what happened, famously, Paul Gascoigne, who played for England, he got a second yellow of the tournament in the semi-final, which meant he would miss the final. Cried his eyes out on the pitch there and then. And they kind of changed the rules after that, so there is an amnesty. One of my favourite in-play bets on that very market, Ryan, is if a team are winning, to back their goalkeeper to pick up a yellow card, just for time-wasting purposes. Every week in the Premier League, when it gets to about 4:30 and there's 8 games live, who's winning? Who's back? Just back into it. Because the ball goes out for a goal kick and he sidles across and he picks it up and he ties one lace and then he undoes his gloves and he ties his other lace. Then he kicks the ball. Then he walks from one side to the other side and he will get a yellow card and he doesn't care. And it's always great value. The books tend to take their eyes off that market as well. They're not very sharp on that. You might get 4, 5, 6. So if USA are 1-0 up or Iran are 1-0 up with 20 minutes left, get on the goalkeeper. He's a nailed on. He's a walking yellow card.
So the yellow card rule, it applies up to the round of 16 and quarterfinals, at which point it's reset.
So
basically, like, the once you get to the final four, the semifinals, everyone gets set to zero yellow cards regardless. So if you get a yellow card here, you would be suspended. Like, if one of those four players who have already received a card for the from the United States team gets a card in this game, they would be ineligible to play in the knockout round. I guess the counter argument would be like that you can't really think about that because the team's not playing if you don't win the game. So, but exactly. Might be worth handicapping if you're looking to play specific guys, who to have it. The guys who have it, McKinney, Acosta, Destin, Ream. So if you're into that kind of degen stuff, I really like.
So Ryan, the final score being? What's your bet here for the game?
Originally I was going to come in and I was going to say, well, Iran's going to play for the draw, the US. Maybe this is like a late goal from the US to get the dramatic win. That's the heart. That's how I pull on the old heartstring. And so I built a bet over at the win for USA to win to nil and for it to be a draw at halftime and USA final result, and that's going to pay 5-1. Then I was like, that price doesn't sound that great. And then Malcolm kind of changed my opinion of the score. And I think the way you play this is you play both teams to win the game 2-1. That's how I'm going to play it. That's how I'm going to avoid being the guy who picks against the United States. I'm going to be the guy who picks Iran 2-1. That's 11-1. USA 2-1 is 8-1. Let's go win one of these bets, baby.
All right. So yeah, Malcolm did talk me into the higher scoring aspect. So I'll go USA 2-1 plus 800 and then USA on the draw line plus 100 to win. Malcolm, it sounds like you like Iran 2-1 as your bet here for the game.
Iran will win. Plus 300 for Iran outright. I think is an absolutely wonderful price. 2-1 correct score. I've also got written down both teams to score at even money. I think it's a nice price. The over 2.5 goals at plus 130. And I love that USA over 2.5 yellow card. It's 137. I'm sure you could set up a construction zone and get three or four of them in the same game parlay as well.
Yes, love it. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/WinBet. Before we let you go, obviously subscribe to the World Cup Gambling Podcast hosted by Malcolm. Malcolm, any sort of future bets we should be looking to get down on now here before maybe the knockout stage begins, or any other long-term bets you think worth throwing down on?
Yeah, well, as boring as it sounds, we were on Brazil before the tournament. I would say about Argentina, if I'm trying to find price on Argentina now, because Argentina were round about second favorites, kind of 6.5 to 1. Before the tournament started, then they had that horrible start against the Saudis.
Yeah, they're fourth favorite now. It's Brazil.
What price are they?
Let's see. Let me pull up that. I'll pull up the whole list.
So my point with them is, I don't think nothing's changed. Like, teams get beat. Spain lost their first game in 2010. Sorry, against Switzerland, went on to win the tournament. Argentina have recovered. They've beaten Mexico. They kind of got away because Poland and the Saudis, everyone's kept that group fairly tight. So I think if you've liked Argentina, if you've backed them, I could go back in again. Did you find a price or anything around it?
Yeah, they're behind. Brazil is 225. France is 550. Spain is 600. Argentina is 700. Portugal 950. England 11-1. So I mean, it seems like they've dropped a little bit.
Yeah, I think after that win, actually, I mentioned this on Saturday, like before the game, they'd gone to about 9 or 10 to 1. But if you like Argentina, I wouldn't put you off Argentina. Netherlands to be eliminated in the quarterfinals, I think, is a good bet because they are going to finish their group on top, or they should do. I then think they'll play Iran, USA, or Wales, whoever comes out. Well, it's going to be Iran or USA, sorry. Whoever comes out second in Group B, the Netherlands will play them in the round of 16, beat them, and then come up against a decent team in the quarterfinals. So if you can find markets where for the round that a team's going to be eliminated in, the Netherlands are toast in the quarterfinals. So that's a good bet. And I think that's about it so far. But yeah, Brazil looked okay. There's a couple of teams I'm out on. I still would fade Portugal. They've been lucky. I'm not convinced by them at all. And still, even the really teams that mentioned earlier on, Sean, teams that are either already qualified or have nothing to play for. Canada, they're done now. They're out. That might lead you to want to fade them in the third game. They want a World Cup win. They have never had a World Cup win in their history. That group of players, and they're not a bad team at all. I think they've been a little bit unlucky. They should have got a result against Belgium. This was the lead the other night against Croatia and then got schooled a little bit by a slicker outfit. Canada are going to go up against Morocco and they want to win that game. So they're going to be live. There's going to be a lot of teams. Don't write them off just because they're already out as well.
Sounds like, Sean, we should parlay every second. Every second half over, we should be looking to play. Netherlands to be bounced in the quarterfinals, seeing that price anywhere from 2 to 1 to 2.5 to 1. So,
oh, beautiful.
Love it. All right, Malcolm, appreciate you coming on. Make sure you follow Malcolm on Twitter at @Mal_B_sport. Check him out on the World Cup Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. If you're listening to this on Monday, still time to get involved in the Cyber Monday sale. 20% off everything in the SGPN store. Kramer and I will be back with Colby talking college football and college basketball. Doubleheader there tomorrow on Tuesday. For the Sports Gambling Podcast, I'm Sean, second the money green. For Ryan,
I'm really pissed off at myself for not using my cyber knife joke today when we had Malcolm on the show.
Kramer, let it ride.